The Lord is good to us. Let's pray one more time as we look to the scripture tonight. Father, I just ask you for your presence here in this building. I believe you're already here, Lord. I know you are, Lord, because of the promise of your word. But I'm asking you, Father, for a special touch from God upon each and every heart here tonight. Lord, that we might just experience you in a special way and just sense and know your presence, Lord. And Father, I thank you for that. I pray that you just speak to our hearts through your word tonight. And Lord, that each one of us will receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's that busy time of year, isn't it? And hectic time of year. And y'all enjoying that traffic and holiday shopping and not, right? You know, Christmas is especially hard for guys because we have to shop and we're just amateurs. And most of the ladies are professionals. But guys, I just want to help you out here. Remember, the most important thing is not what you get. It's not how much money you spent. It's not how it's wrapped. The most important thing is that you keep the receipt. Y'all just think I'm kidding. But anyway... last week, we talked about the Christmas story from Luke. Tonight, we're going to read the Christmas story from Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to read 18 through 25. And by the way, I told y'all some weird stuff last week about how my family celebrates Christmas. And I just want you to know that, first of all, I'm going to say one more time, don't judge me. I don't judge you. But anyway, past that, though, I just want to say that, you know, we really did make it fun and exciting for our kids. Just, I know some of you are probably thinking, those poor children, how they suffered because their dad was weird. But anyway, we made it fun and exciting for our kids. And as we read that Christmas story and opened. Anyway, here we are, Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. They gave him the name Jesus. But he's also called, the Bible says here, Emmanuel, which means God with us. The greatest miracle of the birth of our Lord is that God came to earth in the flesh, that he came to be with us. You need to know this, the best present you'll ever get is the presence of God. I'm talking about him being with you, his presence in your life. And you know what? That's what makes Christmas Christmas, is that God came to earth. That's what makes Christmas Christmas for us right now, is when we sense and know the presence of God with us. You know, the world turns it into all about the stuff. It's all about the presence, right? But we need to remember, it's really all about the presence of God. It's about a God who loved us so much that he came to earth just to be with us. Amen. The greatest gift is the gift of God's Son. It is through him that he gave us his presence, that he came to be with us. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. And we need to understand this, that God gave His only Son because He loved us. But when He gave us His Son, He gave us Himself. He came to earth in a bodily form. That was prophesied 1,000 years before. And you know, there's so much prophecy in the Old Testament, and especially in the book of Isaiah, about the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is really amazing is how much prophecy there is about the virgin birth. And how much prophecy there is about the life of Jesus. Not just, you know, about the Messiah, but about the actual events of Jesus' life. And you know, one of the reasons that people want to do away with the virgin birth, I'm talking about unbelievers, you know, they want to say that's ridiculous, is because it is one of the most awesome truths of the Bible that it was proclaimed nearly 1,000 years ahead of time that a virgin would conceive. Well, I want to read it. Isaiah, let's read 7:14 first of all. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. There it is, the prophecy given. Isaiah 9:6-7 says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Listen to this. A child, a son, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice for the time, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. But notice this, He said that a child, a son, He's going to be called the Mighty God. Isn't that amazing how anybody cannot know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh when, you know, and I don't know if you've ever talked to any of those people. I've even met some people who claim to be Christian who don't really believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. But this son, this child born of a virgin, the Bible says He'll be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. How can He be the Father if He's the Son? Because as Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He is God in the flesh. He is God come to earth to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to earth to restore the relationship between God and man, to reconcile us to God. Last week we talked about the good news, right? I just want to remind you, just mention a few things about the good news again. Here's good news. He came to a lost and dying world as Jesus who saves His people from their sins. He came into the darkness as the light of the world. He came to people who were in despair to bring hope. He came to those who were sick to bring healing. He came to those who comfort those who were hurting and mourn to comfort them. Amen. He came to those who were guilty to forgive. He came to a world that was filled with hatred and bitterness and anger to bring love. I'm telling you, the first Christmas didn't happen under the lights of the television cameras. It happened under the stars of heaven. And it wasn't about stuff. It was about the presence of God had come to earth in the form of a little baby. Why did He come that way? As a baby born of a virgin in a manger, in the stable, in the meekest, lowliest way, unnoticed by the world. Listen, no power revealed. We've all seen the pictures, and we've all had the, you know, the little manger scenes where the little baby Jesus, His head is glowing and putting off this gold, light shining out. And Well, that's a neat idea, but he came as a normal baby. There was no fanfare. The only fanfare there was the angels that came and declared it to the shepherds, and they sang and gave glory to God. But I'm telling you, a lot of times nowadays we try to make it different than what it really was. But he came as a normal baby, the Son of God, God in the flesh. Shepherds came, lowly shepherds. You know what shepherds smell like, right? Lowly shepherds and wise men. We call them kings. We don't know if they're really kings, but they were wise men who brought expensive gifts. I'm telling you, the lowly and the poor, the rich and the mighty came to worship him. He came to reach everybody. The manger speaks of a God who wants to identify with people who are of humble means. Aren't you glad? I'm telling you, Jesus came and preached good news to the poor. There's a God who loves us. He doesn't care what your background is, how much is in your bank account. He loves you. He came to be with us. I believe he came as a man, came as a baby in a manger, so that he could be reachable, touchable to us. He became one of us. Listen, he is fully God, but he is also fully man, so that he could be our high priest, our advocate with the Father. He had to experience the same things that we go through. The Bible says, yet he was without sin. But think about this. Jesus was born in a stable, in a manger. Any of y'all ever leave the door open and mama say, were you born in a barn? If Jesus' mother said that, I guess he could have said, well, yeah. But listen, Jesus was a blue-collar worker. Born in a blue-collar family. Worked in the family business as a carpenter. In fact, a lot of people in Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, they had a hard time believing in him because they knew him. He was one of them. But I want you to understand that God came to earth as a little baby. And as that baby grew up, he was one of us, except he was fully God also. But I want you to understand that he came to be with us. He came to reach us. You know, if you watch movies about Jesus, they always get some good-looking movie star to play Jesus. You know, he's got the pretty brown hair and the pretty beard and, you know, those piercing eyes. And we say, yeah, that must be what Jesus would have looked like. And we've all seen the paintings, right? We know what Jesus looks like, right? But did you know the Bible makes a point of telling us that there was nothing about his physical appearance that drew anybody to him? Well, it's Isaiah 53 and 2. Isaiah 53 is one of the most profound passages of prophecy about the Lord Jesus. It says, for he shall grow up before us as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. There wasn't this. Listen, I don't want to disillusion anybody because you've got this picture in your mind of what Jesus looked like. But I'm just telling you, appearance-wise, he was an ordinary man. But he was God on the inside. Why did he come like that in the form of a little baby, such humble means, so he could become like us, so that we could become like him, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren? He came as a man. They called him the friend of sinners. So many people who loved him were devoted to him and worshiped him. Think about this. Nobody was afraid to come to Jesus. Isn't that amazing? This is God in the flesh. But sinners weren't afraid of him. In fact, I was reading today, I can't even remember where I was reading, but I was reading today in the New Testament in one of the Gospels, and it said, and they all wanted to touch him. And the people wanting to be healed, people wanting to be set free, they wanted to touch him. You know, people weren't afraid of Jesus. This is God in the flesh. Why did he come that way? So that we could be close to him. So that he would be reachable to us. I'm telling you, he came as a man so he could go through the things we go through. Can you realize this, that he got tired? I'm talking about the Almighty God of the universe. Can you imagine? He's never been tired. The Bible says after 6 days of creation, on the seventh day he rested. But I can assure you, God doesn't get sleepy. He doesn't get worn out or exhausted. But the God-man, in that physical body, in that human body got tired just like you get tired. He got hungry just like you get hungry. He felt all of the same kinds of things that you feel. He went through times of rejection. He went through times of heartache. He went through all that we do. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He came to redeem us, to reconcile us, to restore us in our relationship to God so we could have fellowship with him. That's why he was born in a manger, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross and rose from the dead so that we could have a relationship with our Father, so that we could be close to him. Jesus, our high priest, he made the way by his own precious blood. And you know what? There's always going to be people that reject the simplicity of the Christmas story, that God came to earth in the form of a little baby. But I'm telling you, for every Christian, it ought to be something that we embrace wholeheartedly, that this we keep this as the center, as the focus of what Christmas is about. It is about God coming to earth, Emmanuel. It is about him being with us, his presence with us. You know, when the Lord Jesus tells the disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. And then he leaves. But he was talking about through the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, just as Jesus and the Father are one, Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one also. And when he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he wasn't talking about in that human bodily form, but he was talking about in the person of the Holy Spirit, that he would always be with us. And listen, as a Christian, as a child of God, you need to know this, that just as much as Jesus came to earth on that first Christmas morning, Jesus is still with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Jesus told the disciples, he said, he that is with you is going to be in you. What an amazing thing that Emmanuel, God with us, he isn't just with us on the outside, but he's actually with us on the inside, that he lives inside of every believer. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Church, we need to really get a hold of this and keep this on fire inside of us. That, listen, God lives inside of us in all of our weakness and frailty and inabilities, yet we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. It is God's power. It is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. The love, the joy, the peace of Christmas is all found in Jesus. It's in him. He's the true meaning of Christmas. It is about him coming into our lives, that he lives inside of us every day. always with us all the time. As you know, this has always been God's plan. This has always been the way that God moves and works in the lives of His people. He's never been a far-off God. See, from the very beginning in the garden, He walked among them. He talked with them. But listen to this. I just want to give you a little run through here. In Genesis 26 and 3, He says to Isaac, He says, "I will be with you and bless your descendants." Now, you know, we focus on that part where He says bless. But listen, you can't get any more blessed than God being with you. And He said, "I will be with you." Then to Jacob, in Genesis 28:15, He says, "I am with you wherever you go." Joseph, the Bible says this about Joseph in Genesis 39:3, "The Lord was with him and caused all that he did to prosper." The Lord was with him. Moses, Exodus 3:12, the Lord said to Moses, "I will be with you." To Joshua, Joshua 1:5, He says, "Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail or forsake you." Are y'all getting the picture here? You see, God wants to be with us. Gideon, it's in Judges 6:16. He said to Gideon, "Surely I will be with you, and you will defeat the Midian as one man." David said in Psalms 23 and verse 4, He said, "I will fear no evil. You are with me." Wow. To Jeremiah, He said, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you, and I will rescue you." It's Jeremiah 1:8. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flame will not scorch you." See, no matter what you're going through, the Lord's promised He's going to be with you. You feel like life's just about to overwhelm you sometimes, that the pressure's on, the heat's on, He's made you this promise. "I'll be with you. You're going to be all right. The waters are not going to overtake you. The fire's not going to burn you. I'm with you." I'm telling you, this is a fantastic thing that our Heavenly Father came to earth and He is with us. Well, Isaiah 58:9, it says, "Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and He will say, 'Here I am.'" You call out to the Lord, here's His answer. "Here I am." In Jeremiah, He says, "You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And here's what I'm saying to you, that to anybody who turns to God and cries out to God with all their heart, God will be there. You'll find Him. He'll be there for you. He'll say, "Here I am." Now, you know, Paul Harvey used to always wrap up his things. He'd say, "Well, here's the rest of the story." I'm going to tell you the rest of the story tonight. It's in Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. If you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. We don't talk about end times just a whole lot, but I just want you to see how this thing ends. And I'm going to read beginning from verse 3. No, I want to read 2. "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men.'" That's the dwelling place of God is with men. "And He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God." This is how this thing's going to wrap up. That new Jerusalem is going to come down, and the dwelling of God is going to be with men. He's going to be with us for eternity. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. I'll tell you, it's absolutely amazing what God has planned for us. But here's the important part. People want to talk about the New Jerusalem. Oh, what that must be like. Let me tell you what it's all about. The presence of God. It's all about God being with us. And I'm telling you tonight that through the Holy Spirit, His presence is already with us. He's with us everywhere we go. That's what makes Christmas special. That's what makes being a Christian wonderful, is that He is with us. That He never leaves us nor forsakes us, but He's with us all the time. And I encourage you, whether you're driving down the highway, you're doing some business deal, or you're sitting in your den in your living room celebrating Christmas with your family, realize that the presence of God is all around you, that He's right there with you. And if you'll just look for Him, He's there. That's why He came. Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to stand and we're going to pray. Well, Father, I just thank You. I thank You, Lord, that You love us so much, that You want to be with us. And Father, I pray that You'd cause us to see, Lord, where there have been times that we've neglected You, Lord, or times where we've not given thought to You, Lord. But Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just do a work in us, that we would just become more and more aware of Your presence in our lives. Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just constantly remind us that You're with us all the time in the dark places, the hard places, the stressful times. And Lord, You're there also in the good times, the times of rejoicing and joy and victory and happiness, Lord. You're there with us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. And Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord, that in the midst of a busy world, oh Lord, they'll find a place of quietness and rest and peace in the presence of God that nothing else can take away. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just want to encourage you tonight, if you need peace, if you've just been stressed, you've been under a load, going through some difficult things, He said if you call out to Him, He'll say, I'm here. I'm here. He's right there. I just want to encourage you. If your heart is heavy tonight, whatever it might be, just call out to Him. He loves you. And all through the Bible, I shared it with you all through the Bible. He wants to be with you. And in the end, church, that's what this really is about. This whole Bible, this whole plan of redemption, it is about redeeming us back to God so that we can be with Him for eternity. To be in His presence for eternity. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. As we dismiss tonight, I just want to give you an opportunity for prayer. If you need prayer, no matter what the need is, it might be a spiritual need or a physical need, maybe praying for a loved one. But if you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, I myself or other prayer partners will be here to join with you in prayer. Church, let's keep the main thing this Christmas. Let's keep pointing people to Jesus. He's what really makes the difference. And let's use, and I mean that in the best way, let's use this Christmas time. It is, you know, we talk about how it's been commercialized and how secular our society is. But even though it has been used and abused in a bad way, isn't it an amazing thing that our nation celebrates the birth of our Lord? I know many of them would say, oh, that's not what we're doing. But I'm telling you, isn't it amazing that everything stops on that day? I was somewhere the other day and they said, the only day we're closed all year is December 25th. Celebrating the day, the birth of our Lord. So let's use this time to bring a little bit of the presence of God everywhere we go, to remind people about Jesus. And let's be careful to pull aside, to pull away, to separate from all of the stuff and have those quiet moments where it is as though we are sitting around the manger. Amen. Just enjoying the presence of God. Amen. Well, Lord bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you come.